Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
when the blessing, when the praises go up, blessings come down. We just want to thank you on this morning for continuously joining us at our executive meeting where we keep God first. He's our number one priority. And by you all joining us all over this land, in Africa, in the United Kingdom, Fiji, Jamaica, everywhere, the partners that have made a conscious decision to partner with us, not even you, United States of America, we thank you for your continuously being just staying in on your square with the Lord, knowing that He will feed you your daily manna and provide your living water where you will not thirst anymore. So we just thank you as we continue to praise the Lord. ADM, one thing about ADM, I can surely say that we are a praising church. It does not matter. We're going to praise the Lord. And I can tell you this, my praising got a little bit better when I saw other people not being, that being in a place where they can openly praise the Lord and not have any shame about it, where they can openly just clap their hands, even if you got to get up and just stand and just showing God exactly who He is. You want to be into a place where you know that the Holy Spirit is meeting you there. You don't have to go in and wait for the Spirit to just get up and hit you. You walking in the door knowing that the Spirit is there with you and you are getting ready to be taken someplace. You're getting ready to know what that God is going to give you, a rhema word. So we're not in a physical building, but I'm going to tell you this. The Holy Spirit is definitely present. He is present. He is here to do His job. We just have to be into a place where we do our job, and that's continuously praying, continuously praying, continuously worshiping, consecrating ourselves. Listen, it's a way of life now. Just like you put all different things in your life, you prepare yourself for your job, you prepare your kids, your everything around your house. God, living in the will of God is a way of life. The things that I just mentioned, it is a way of life. We shouldn't second guess it. We shouldn't have to sit and put a plan together. It should come naturally. Just as you put your shoes on, you should be praising the Lord. Just as you're eating, you should be praying. Just as you're drinking, you're worshiping. I don't have to keep going on because I think that you have the message that I am trying to bring. And I just say again to you all, good morning, good afternoon, wherever you're at. We are thankful on today knowing that God is our head. He is our guide. But one thing we are going to do before we move any further, I want you to command your atmosphere today. I want you to take control with the authority that God has already given you and control and command your atmosphere. Command your day. You speak to your day. Speak it out of your mouth and tell yourself, tell the atmosphere, the imps that are listening, what is going to happen on your day, on today. And you have to stay into a place where you do not allow the enemy to overtake you, but you overtake the enemy. You control the situation. If you see something getting heated, you back up out of it. If you see if it's a conversation not worth having, let the person know this is a waste of my time. If you're continuously telling somebody something and they don't want to listen, let them know I'm not feeding my pearls to the swine. Whatever it may be, you control the atmosphere because God has given you the authority to command your day. And when you're commanding it, decree something. Decree and declare something. Because we've already identified that once you decree and declare, it is established. So put all those things together. And you, you decide with the Holy Spirit being your lead and your guide how your day is going to be. Do not allow the principalities to control you, but you stand firm in your faith with your boldness, with your courageousness, and with love, and you decide what is going to take place on today. Good morning, Minister Shakita. Will you please bring us in prayer?
Good morning, Evangelist, and good morning, Saints. Once again, what an awesome experience it is to commune with the Lord and fellowship with you. As we usher in the Holy Spirit, we thank you, God, for the day, oh God. We thank you, God, for all the things you're doing, God. We thank you for just waking us up this morning, God. We thank you, God, as I decrease in me and increase in you, oh God. We thank you, God. We give you the grace, oh God. We give you mercy, oh God. Thank you, God, for the grace and the mercy, oh God, and all the things that you're adding to our life, oh God. We thank you, God, for the things you're doing in our life, oh God. Gracious Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for you, oh, for us, oh God, for our free will, God, to gain knowledge and education, oh God. We thank you, God, for all these things that you're doing in our life, oh God. We thank you, God, and help us to hear them, oh God. Help us to read them, God. Mark them, learn them, God, and inwardly digest the word, God, that you have for us, oh God, and encourage and support us by the holy word of God. May we embrace and always hold and fast the joyful hope of everlasting life, God, that you give us, oh God, in our life, oh God. We thank you, God, for making yourself known, God, to us, oh God, showing us the way of our salvation through the faith of your Son, oh God. We thank you, God. We ask you, God, now, God, to teach us through your word, oh God, so that we may always be ready to serve you, oh God, for the glory of your Lord, for the glory of you, oh God. We thank you, God. We thank you, God, Heavenly Father, for inspiring the script, God, by the Holy Spirit, God. Help us, God. Help us, God, by your Spirit, God, so we can hear your holy word, God, so that we may be equipped, God, every day, God, to do your good work through Jesus Christ, oh God. Heavenly God, help us, God. Give us the faith, God, to receive your word, God, understanding to know the word and its meaning, God, and the will to put it into practice, God, through Jesus Christ, oh God. We thank you, God. Oh God, we thank you, God, for the gifts of your holy word, oh God. May it be a lantern to our feet, oh God. In the light of our path, oh God, strengthen us in our lives, oh God. Take us, oh God. Thank you, Jesus Christ. Take us and use us, God, in the time of and serve in a time of this, oh need, oh God, in this time, oh God, to serve people, God, to let people know, God, that you are living and living, working. That you are living, working, God, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. We thank you, God. I thank you, God. I lay myself down upon you, God. In efforts of you, God. Let the people know, God, if we can hold on to you, oh God. To you, God. The long title, God. You can pull us up, out, and in. And everything that we're going through, oh God. Let us not, God, put our eyes on the things that's going on around us, oh God. And within us, oh God. But keep our eyes on you, oh God. And put you within us no matter what, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God. Continue, God, to let us know, God, that you are always there for us, oh God. You are always in the midst, oh God. You never leave us nor forsake us, oh God, no matter how it seems, oh God. We continue, God, to put strength in us and strengthen us up, God, so we can continue to do your work, God, like never before, oh God. Continue, God, to watch over our heart and our mind, oh God, like never before, oh God. Because today, oh God, we need you more than ever, oh God. We thank you, God, like never before, oh God. I love you, God, and you know, God. I lay myself down as a living sacrifice unto you, oh God. It's in your name, God, Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Everybody just give God a praise on today. You all just help me collectively. Praise the Lord, because he is so worthy to be praised. And on today, if you all could just come with us for a little bit, I want to go back, and it's something that we revisited, but we want to talk about it this morning. Minister Shakita said in her prayer that stuck out to me, she said the words that God would never leave us, neither will he forsake us, and that is a known statement, but a lot of people really don't understand it. They don't understand because different things that goes on in their lives, they feel like, okay, well, God's not here for me for that. He didn't help me with this. He didn't help me with that. And that takes me to this morning where we're going. I want to go back into the prodigal son. When he left, he was spiritually immature. He was immature, period. He backslid and he took his fortune early. He left. We know all of that. But it was some things when I read into it last night that just really jumped off the page for me. And one of them is that in verse, and this is Luke 15. You can read the account of the parable from, it's Luke 15 from 11 to 32. But I want to start in verse 17. And basically, and I'm going to paraphrase if it's okay. Basically, when he came to his common sense, when he made a conscious decision that it was time for him to return home, what he did was he practiced, he spoke what he was going to say to his father. And remember, this is a parable. So he spoke what he was going to say to God, because this parable is talking about a lost son, a son that had backslid, a daughter that had backslid, or just someone that had backslid altogether. We're not going to put a gender on it. We're going to talk about a person that had just backslid and realized that they had made a poor decision because they hadn't hit rock bottom. And in that rock bottom, he realized that I have my father, but I have to get together. I have to prepare myself to know what I am going to say to him, because I have to offer up a confession. I have to do a repentance. I have to ask for forgiveness. But in this story, the son felt like that he was not worthy enough to be back into his father's house. And see, that's where I want to go. I want to let everybody know, see, we feel like that once we've sinned or once we've done these different things, we have to remember God knows everything. We have to know that, and we have to know that God gives us a free will, a choice. One thing about this, me reading into this story last night, that I was able to identify, yes, God would never leave us nor forsake us. His love is still there. His compassion is still there. But what you're not going to see in this story is, even though the father's son and the father gave the son everything that he was asking for, and because that was his choice. Remember, he gives us choices, and that was the son's choice. And although the son was out there, he was doing the things that he was doing, the father may have been sorrowful, but one thing about the father, he did not leave his home to go and look for him. I'm going to say that again. He did not leave his home to go and look for his wayward son. He continued, but when he saw, the scripture said that he returned home. When he saw it, he felt he came to his senses. He decided what he was going to say to his father. Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. That's a confession. And I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. See, he asked God to take him back on. He asked God to allow him to come back into his will. He had a sense of humbleness, humility. He had been went through all type of different things, eaten in the pods with the pigs. The law talks about how the pigs, that was just such a lowly thing because of their uncleanliness. He had to went out there. He had done everything. He was rock bottom. But see, when he made a conscious decision, and this is where you and I need to be on today, those that are still in a place where you're pondering because you made a bad choice and now you're saying that God is nowhere in it, you made that choice. God didn't make that choice for you. God is our provider. In this story, this young man, all of his provisions were made. He was living a very good, healthy, fulfilled life, a great life. His dad had servants. They had it all. And he made a conscious decision. Give me my inheritance early. Give me my inheritance early. I'm ready to go out into the world. And we all do that. We all do that. But see, I'm talking to the people that's still out there. The people that's still out there because you're waiting for God to do something miraculous in your life, or you're waiting for God to come and search high and low for you to bring you back in, when it's you that need to make a conscious decision that you're going to come back into him. Because just as the scripture says in Deuteronomy that he would never leave you, neither will he forsake you. That is true. But one thing about it, and we've said it for months and months now from the beginning of the year, God is not going to force himself on you. Now, as the story continues to go on, in verse 20, it says, so he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Now, that right there, that scripture in itself, see, God sees everything. But the scripture says when he was afar, God saw him coming. God realized that it was a change of heart. God realized that he was coming with a true confession and in true repentance. So what did God do? God went and he met him. He met him where he was. The scripture said he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. He met him. He met the backslider. He met the child that lived with the unclean child that lived and ate with the pigs. He went and met the child that had spent all of his inheritance doing God knows what. Only him and God knows what he was doing. But the point that I'm making today is that due to his humility, due to his conscious decision, he made another choice. It was a fork in the road. He did a U-turn. But when he did the U-turn, he did not go back to God the same way that he left. He did not. He was not happy. He was not into a place where he was bragging. He was not into a place. He came to God back with a humbled spirit. He was broken. He was humiliated. He even was shamed because he sat and said, I'm not worthy to be your son. But what did our father do? What did our father do in this story? Our father said, told his servant, let me read it to you. I don't want to mess it up because it just touched my heart to know the type of God that I call my daddy, the type of God that I call Abba, the type of God I call, I tell him thank you for my provisions, the type of God that I sit and say thank you for my healing, the type of God that I can sit and say you are my all. I want you all to get the point this morning. In verse 21, his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father, we on 22, said to the servant, he said to the servants around him, quick, and then the word in my Bible, quick, has an exclamation. That means let's get to it. It's important. Let's do this. Quick. Bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with the feast, okay? Because for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So let the party begin. Listen, saints. We all, if you can find one, I'm going to be like how Abraham went to God. If I could just find, I think it started at 50 or 40, and God. Hallelujah. If this one, I'm going to reverse that. If this one on this line can sit and say that they have not been in a place where they have done so many things and they've just lingered out in the wilderness because they felt like that God had left them and they felt like he had forsaken them, or they felt like that they were not worthy to be into his presence, I need you to come in, come. I ask the apostle if you would please unmute the lines or open the lines so you can come in and give us an explanation. But before you give that explanation, I want to sit and tell you that you're not being honest. Because one thing about our God, he will, the scripture says that he will never leave us, neither will he forsake us. This scripture right here shows us that. This scripture right here lets us know, and that is Luke 15, 11 through 32. It let us know that God, one, gives us a choice. He gives us, when the preacher man get up on the pulpit and he lets you know that God gives us free will, that he gives us choices. When Apostle Temple gets on the line and tell you that God is not going to force himself, when I sit and tell you that God is not going to force himself, it is real. It does not say in this scripture that God went out looking for him. God didn't send his servants to go to see what his son was going to do. God gave him. He fulfilled the choice of life that he requested, the choice of life that he chose to live. But when he made that U-turn, after he had done all that he can do and he had been failed, God was right there. The scripture said, from afar, he sees his son coming back from afar. How can God see him coming back from afar? Because, see, God knows everything. He sees everything. And one thing about it, when he saw him coming back from afar, he already knew that he was coming back to repent, not just sit and say anything, as some of us do, but he came with a true repentance. First, he confessed that he had been sinned against his Father in heaven. And then God said, what did God say? God met him. God met him just where he was. And he did not sit and say, yeah, I'm going to allow you to work with my servants. God threw a party for him. He gave him the best of everything to let him know, welcome back, my child. You are worthy. Yes, you might have made a bad choice. Yes, you were spiritually immature. Yes, on the naturally, you was spiritually immature. You was immature. You wanted to go out. You wanted to see the world, but saw that it wasn't how it was supposed to be. You made some bad decisions. You slept with the hog. You ate with the hogs and the pigs. You have been to your lowest, but let me welcome you back into my will. Let me welcome you back into my kingdom. Let me give you of the finest robe. Let me feed you with the fattest calf that we have. Let me put a ring on your finger to show you that I honor, that you're honored in this kingdom. And I don't know who I'm speaking to today, but I am going to sit and tell you this. The mentality that you have, that God is not there for you, that he has left you and he has forsaken you, I don't want you to get it twisted. God does not leave us, neither does he forsake us. You're the person that do it. You need to be a person that takes the right stance to look at yourself. Pay attention to your actions, the things that you're saying, the things that you're doing, and how you're doing it. And ask yourself, are those the things that's in God's will? See, one thing about the Holy Spirit will convict you. If you are truly in the will and you have opened that door to allow the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, it's going to convict you. So you cannot sit back and sit and say, oh, I didn't know that. You cannot sit and say, oh, I didn't see that. Oh, I didn't hear that. Because if you are under the unction of the Holy Spirit, whether it be from a prophetic word, whether it be from the Bible, where you're reading a scripture and that scripture comes alive to you, whether it's just something in your life and you see that every turn that you make is not a turn, it's a turn that's taking you into a dead end. Who do you see? Listen, only God is the one that opens the doors. When God opens the doors, man cannot even close those doors. Man can't close those doors unless God sits and he tells him to close those doors, or God shuts the doors himself. So you and the doors that you're asking to be open, it's the exact same thing. But you have to be into a place where you just self-surrender. We all make mistakes. We all fall short of God's glory. The question is once you realize that you have made this mistake, once you realize that you have turned on the wrong path, or you have taken the wrong, when you've gotten to the fork in the road, that you have taken the wrong road, what do you do from there? Do you continue to walk on that wrong road because you see that there's no fulfillment in it? You feel that God is not there with you. You feel that you're blinded. You're in a lost place instead of being in a place where you know that you're being led by the Spirit, because that's who you're depending on. You're depending on the Spirit to be your lead and to be your guide. Or do you stay into that lost place? Do you stay into a wondrous place? Do you stay into a state of confusion? Do you stay into a place of feeling sorry for yourself? Or do you get yourself together as the prodigal son is and sit and rehearse and prepare yourself to what you're going to say when it's time for you to speak to God? And that's the problem. We feel like that there's times we say, no, I can't go to him today. Or you choose to sit and say, no, the way I'm living today is I'm comfortable where I'm at today. I'm not ready for the change. I'm not ready to do this because I may have to start from the bottom. See, when the prodigal son went to his father, he didn't expect to get a robe. He didn't expect to get a ring. He didn't expect to get the fattest calf. He didn't expect for a party. He felt that his mind was made up that I'm going to ask my father to allow me to work for you, to become one of your servants. And what did God do? God gave him the best. And I want to sit and say to you today, stop trying to think about what God is going to do for you and let God do what he is going to do. Because one thing about it, our thoughts are not his thoughts. We cannot think for God. All we know is that we cannot pull wool over God's eye. All we can do is keep on keeping on and doing what we're supposed to do, and that's remaining in his will. I decree and declare on today that you will make conscious decisions in your life and in the areas that you are not where you're supposed to be. If you are outside of the will of God, that you make a confession and you go before him in truth and repentance, and you ask for forgiveness and let God meet you where you're at. Not try to think about where you think you're at, but see, God knows everything, because one thing about God, he reads the heart. He's an internal God. He's paying attention to what you have in your heart. Is it pure? Is it genuine? Are you just saying something today because you're in a mess? Or are you saying something because you're tired of being sick and tired? Ask yourself that question on today, and then you go before the Lord and the way that you want him to meet you, where he comes out and grab you and kiss you and show you that I love you even though you went this way. My love never failed for you. Good morning, Apostle Temple.
Good morning. I'm about finna remove my phone because, you know, the contact that I was finna ask, you pretty much done went into it and went all over it. Amen. You know, the contact that I asked because, you know, the prodigal child, you know, I look at it from all different types of angles. And it is a story about restoration, being restored. It is a story about that, but it's unfortunate that Evangelist, she put out there basically what I was going to ask, you know, the people that are listening, one I just want to ask, you know, one of the questions that I want to ask, where what was he thinking, or what was his mental place when he felt that way? Because everything comes in a thought first. It comes into a thought before a action or a reaction take place. So it has to be a thought or thinking process, or how long was that thinking process was taking place, amen, before he had a reaction to have a action. So something had to happen there. Mentally, it was going on. You know, he had it all mentally. Another question is, you know, even if he did not fall, what if he did not fall down on his luck, where he had to eat to the lowest of low with the swine or whatever, would he still be out there? Would he still, would he come to a place of sincerity of repentance? Would he still continue to do what he's doing? What if he had still had money to blow and money to party with? Would he still kept partying? Would he still stay into them same old places? You know, see, these are the questions that I look at. Now, once he got back to the house and the father did what he's supposed to do, and he did what he, you know, what any, you know, respiration, and not even judging, and always come embrace people. So I does the same thing, you know, regardless of who it is. You know, I'm going to love them and embrace them, because at the end of the day, they are a child of God. But now the question that I, you know, we put out there, now the question, once you get restored, once he got restored, is that mentality going to come back? Is that way of thinking going to come back? Is he going to have a better plan this time than he had last time, because he know what's going out there or what he's going to get ready to face? Amen? He'll have a better plan. Is he going to begin to start stealing? Is stealing going to come in to stack up on his plan? Where is things going to be? Thanks to God, you got to understand, once you begin to cross that threshold, you still have to go back and prove yourself to God. Restoration and restoring, God is going to redress you, reclose you, making sure you got, you know, making sure things that your needs will be taken care of. But that doesn't mean that he are into a place to where you are trustworthy. And we have to understand that, and we really need to see that clearly. How many times that God had to bring us to a place of restoring? Now, this story here, it talks about this one incident pertaining to the prodigal child. But how many incidents that we continue to have? How many incidents that we continue to do the same old, the same old? God restore us, we go back out there and blow it. God restore us financially, we go back out there and do what we want to do. God restore our life, we go back out there, run it back into the ground. Constantly over and over and over again. Do God continue? Now, this is the question. Do God continue to restore us? Or sometimes, or do he have to allow us, or do he have to allow us to go through some hardship? What if God never frees or bumps up you into financial hardship? Would you be in a relationship or to the place with God like you are now, or are you going to continue to do what you do? What if God have not brought you into a place to where, you know, you was up one day and now you're dealing with starvation? You're dealing with, I don't know. See, a lot of things people always put on the devil. You know, and say the devil causing this, the devil talking about finances. Well, if the prodigal child finances never been touched, I wonder when he had the thought pattern like, man, this ain't no way for me. If the prodigal child never dealt with hunger, I wonder did he had ever had the mentality or the thought that says, I ain't with this here. I need to go back home. What if he still had it going on? Sometimes God has to touch something around you to get your attention. Back to you, Evangelist.
Amen. And I am a living witness, a living testimony to that. So many times I have in my past life, and I sit and say, and felt like I was living on top of the world. But when in that day, that day in 2007, when my complete life changed, I tell you, it was a blow to me. It was such a big blow, and I have to ask the same question that I have to answer the question that Apostle Temple said. If I did not have a blow, I would have continued on with the lifestyle that was being provided to me by my husband, because we were on top of the world. So we thought. We thought we was on top of the world doing everything under the sun that God was not in, and living like kings and queens, so we thought, on the natural sense. Not in the spiritual realm, not being kingdom citizens. So I'm going to answer the question for those that may sit and have a closed mouth, where I am that person that's naked but not ashamed, that's exposed and not trying to cover up, because I realized when I allowed God to come in, when I was in a place and I heard from the Lord, and he said, don't be afraid, because I am with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. If you read the scripture, it tells you that God has already, in Deuteronomy 31, I have to look it up. I don't want to give wrong scripture, but he said, and I'm paraphrasing, that he would never leave me nor forsake me, because he was going before me. So once I realized that's what was going on, my mental change. But if I wasn't into a place of captivity, and I don't care if it was for 1 hour, I don't care if it was for 24 hours, a change came into my mind, because I heard what God said to me, and I realized that my fall took place not because of what Satan had done, but it was for one that God loved me so much and realized what was inside of me. See, one thing about us, about God, because I'm going to go to Paul right now. When Paul did the things, when Paul was persecuting the Christians, Paul had he was dedicated to what he was doing. He was loyal to what he had been taught. He was loyal to the lifestyle that he was brought up in. Christians was the wrong person to be in that place and time. So it was, you were going to be a Christian, you was going against what was already put before him, his bringing up. When we get into a place where we're living a life, or feel like we're living a luxurious life, and when you're living that life and you're living it without God, I'm going to tell you, I don't care how long you've been living in that life, one day you are going to fall. You're going to fall. And then you have to ask the same question that Apostle Temple just put forth. What would you do? What would you do if the fall did not come? And this is with the prodigal son. He did make a conscious decision. But I'm asking you on today, answer the question. Ask yourself, allow that question to ponder. And ask yourself, is it worth me not having eternal life? Is it worth me not seeking to obtain salvation, where Jesus Christ becomes my Lord and Savior, where I am in a place? We already know it's very hard to get in. We know that. So therefore, our life has to be basically, our life has to come up under a microscope. And I'm not sitting here telling you that you got to be holier than thou. What I'm sitting and telling you is that you have to make conscious decisions of the things and the choices that you make in life. You have to understand that the choices that you make, either you're going to make a right turn that's going to keep you in the path of righteousness, or you're going to make a left turn. And you cannot sit and say that Satan made you make that left turn if that's what you chose to do. That's what you chose to do. So whatever happens on that left turn, that's what you welcomed in. You welcomed it in. The life that I came up in the church. My great-grandmama was a praying grandmama. Every step she took, she was praying in the spirit. Every time, 6 o'clock, at 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock, we came in the house from praying. 5 o'clock, we was in taking a bath. 6 o'clock, we was before the Lord doing Bible study. 7 o'clock, we was on our knees praying. 8 o'clock, we was in the bed for the night because this is what my grandmother felt. 2 a.m., we was up again before the Lord praying. I came up. I came up knowing who God was. I came up knowing that Christ died on the cross for me. But I chose. I thought that was too strict for me. I felt like all the time being in the church that there was better out there for me. I wanted to live. I wanted to be a hoochie mama. I wanted to ride on motorcycles. I wanted to do everything that I saw everybody else doing. And guess what? Once I got a taste of it, I chose to stay there. I stopped meeting the wrong people, knowing that I should have been dealing with some other type of people. But I chose the people that was going to give me a good life that I felt was a good life. But oh, my God, when enough was enough, and I didn't tell you everything is taken up under you simultaneously, quickly, suddenly, you have nothing to say and all you can do. And as I sat there and I said, I did not open my mouth. I did not cry out to God. I did not say, God this or God that. God came. He met me where I was at because you know what? I didn't open my mouth to say it. But he saw what was inside of me internally. He knew how I felt. He knew. And once the scripture came to me, do not be afraid. Be of good courage. I'm going to get you to the land. He, and in this scripture, he was telling Moses, I'm going to take you and the people into the promised land. And don't you be afraid. Don't be discouraged because I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going before you. Once I realized that God was going before me, once I realized then, right then and there, and I'm not too ashamed to tell you in a jail cell, I gave my life to the Lord right then and there. But I'm going to tell you this. I did my time. I did whatever, holier than thou. But soon as I came back out, went round the same old mountain again, had to be struck down with sickness. On this time, I make some minor mistakes. Some may think it's major. I don't know. It's up to God, his decision. But I do know that when I make those mistakes, because I invited the Holy Spirit into my life, that I suddenly ask God for forgiveness and anybody else that I may have wronged. I clear my conscience immediately because, see, I don't need my conscience or my subconscious to be cloudy or hazy. I got to be into my vision or my peripheral vision to be in a place where I'm not seeing because I don't know what God's next assignment or his next step for me. Today he may say walk 10 steps ahead of you and make a quick right. And if I'm blinded or I have a sense of confusion going on in my life, I'm going to miss the instructions and miss the mark that he wants me to be on that day. So I sit and say to you all, ponder on the question that was asked of you. If you wouldn't have went through this, if you wouldn't have had the fall, if you didn't get this taken away, if you didn't have this illness that was holding you down, what would you do? Would you still stay on that same road? Or will you surrender it all to the Lord based off of what you know that he can do and who he is in your life? You need to ask yourself that question. And one thing, like I said, I'm naked and exposed at this point in time, and I have no shame about it. I will never, ever again hold my head down and go before the Lord and tell him I'm not worthy to be with you, to be a part of you. But what I will go to him is and say, Father, I'm coming to you again. Please examine my heart, Lord Jesus. And if I need to be redress me again. If my mental need to be corrected, correct me again. If I need some straightening out, straighten me out because I am human and I do sometimes fall short of your glory, but I'm tired of disappointing you. See, you got to get to a place where you tired of disappointing God. We sit and we say we tired of disappointing ourselves. We tired of disappointing our husband. We tired of disappointing man in general. But you got to get to a place where you tired of disappointing God. You do not want your relationship with God even though you feel like it's severed. You don't want that intimate relationship to go astray, to go afar. You want it to stay close to you. You want it to be into a place where even if you just singing a song, you know that he's there, his presence. You want to be into a place when you go into a newness, you know that God has already opened that door and went in there for you, and you're able to sit and you're going in there and say, it's a good thing because my father has already went there. And that's what a father, a natural father, will do. A natural father will go and make sure things. When you're going to get a car or you're going to a college student that's going into a new dorm room or to a new cottage, what happens? The parents go there with them. They check it out. They make sure everything is straight financially. They make sure everything in that room is straight. They make sure that the security is straight. They make sure everything is straight. Any situation, the parent is going to go there with you and go before you. And this is how we need to think of God. You need to think of God the exact same way, knowing that he will not leave you, neither will he forsake you, but he is there to go before you, to make sure everything is okay. You can't throw God away. You can throw God away, but one thing about it, he's going to still be there. When you're ready to come back, he's going to be right there. If you got a true repentance, as this scripture said, he ran out. That's when he ran out. He didn't run out. He didn't run behind him. He didn't say, no, son, don't go. He didn't drag him. He didn't let his son drag him. He didn't go running before his son and put a barricade up and say, don't move this way. Don't move this way. I beg you not to go. He honors his choice, and God honors our choices on today. I pray that you make a right choice. I pray that you stop going down the same street over and over, and some of us like to go through, take some shortcuts in life. But I'm sitting and telling you, those shortcuts as well would take you into a place where you go into a dead end. And when you go into that dead end, what happens? You have to turn back around and retrace the steps that you just came from. Instead of you moving forward, you got to go back to those same and walk those same steps all over again. What God wants us to walk, he wants us to move forward and go into the things that he has already predestined for us, a life of fulfillment, a life of prosperity, a life of living in his will, living as the kingdom citizen that you are, that you have been predestined when Jesus died on the cross for us to become ambassadors of Christ, to live as the king and queen do. That's what we need to do. That's what you need to do. But I want you, the question that was posed to you, what if? That's where we're going to leave it. What if? Where would you be? What if you didn't get into this place? What if this happened? Where would you be? What would your mind tell you to do on today? Listen, ADM, God loves us so unconditionally. ADM, all over this land. He loves us unconditionally. His love never fails for us. We may not be living in the best conditions in this day and time, but guess what? You are living. You still have the protection. It's the choices that you make. You hear people talking about COVID, this variant going on. It's still, you have to use wisdom. Just because you see other people not wearing masks, just because you see other people not doing the things that they do, you have to make a right choice, because if you wasn't supposed to be here, you'll be gone. If God is not in it, then we all would not be here on this day of time. He can sit as he has done before, open up the earth and allow hundreds of thousands of people to die at one time. But that's not what he's doing now. Make the right choices. God gives us free will. He gives us the choice to make a conscious decision. Make that decision. Don't wait until tomorrow. If there's some things that you need to clean up, straighten up, get your house in order. Get those things in order. Show God that what you're saying, your prayers, your praises, they are real. Let him examine your heart and know that you're this time around, you coming with the realness, the genuineness, the pureness. You've made the change in your life. You're tired of the dead ends. You're tired of the barricades. You're tired of the high mountains. You can't even get halfway up the mountain before you decide that this mountain is too steep. I got to turn back around. Then you back on square one all over again. Get the tenacity into your life and make the conscious decision that it's time for a change. Stop allowing your mind to control you and you control the mind. Allow your heart to be pure. The mind, the heart speaks to the mind. If you got malice in your heart, if you're disgruntled, if you're dismayed, if you just feel like you're overpowered, you're depressed, you got so many things that's there that's making everything clogged up to one. If you can just identify them in the name of Jesus and call them out one by one. And one thing that I like to do, and this is my practice, when I see something, I call it out. I don't want an empty bowl. I try to replace it with something positive. Not try, I replace it with something positive. But this is the thing. Am I just replacing it on that day? Just because I'm saying I'm doing it, or am I replacing it because that's where I want it to be? So I want it to be a permanent fixture, not a temporary fixture. When you get to a point where you're tired of disappointing God, the prodigal son said, I have sinned against you, his father, God, and heaven. When you get to that point, just know God is right there. He's going to meet you just where you are. I sit and pray that on today that this word has touched so many people. And I'm going to tell you, let go and let God. Go before the Lord and just lay it on the table. In order for God to redress you, Apostle said he's going to redress you. There's things that he's going to do. You got to go before him naked. He got to strip you from head to toe. And so he can dress you. He can put you back. He can put the clothes on you that he know that you should wear at the appointed time. So you stop sitting and trying to do things on your own. Let go. Let God go before him. Go before him and strip yourself. Strip. Don't let God have to strip us. Strip yourself. When he's stripping it, when the stripping comes on because of things that you have done, I'm telling you, it's devastating. Do not allow that devastating. You have a choice today to stop. To stop. Stop. ADM loves you, but guess what? God loves you more. We will see you all tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. sharp. Let the word of God marinate in you in your heart today. Ask yourself, what if, in the name of Jesus, and you apply the rest. Be blessed on this Thursday, this thankful Thursday. Give God all the thanks because he is worthy to be praised. Thank him for your daily manna. You don't have to go out and look for nothing else. He feeds you as you are. You need to be fed. Don't be greedy, but stay in the presence of the Lord, knowing that he is so worthy. Everybody on this line, shout hallelujah and thank God for who he is and who you are. In Jesus' name, we love you. Have a glorious day. Peace out.